Father, how we rejoice in you, how we are thankful for today. We see the sun now shining and we are thankful for it. It's been cold and blustery this week, Father. You've given us snow, but we just thank you for that. We thank you for the seasons that you give us, and we're thankful that we're going to have a white Christmas. And Father, we just come to you this morning wanting to draw closer to you. So we invite you into this place. Holy Spirit, come in and move amongst us. Allow us to encounter you in a new and personal way today, that we might be still here this morning and know that you are God. Father, we just ask that you prepare us this morning. Prepare us for the message that you have given. Allow our hearts to be open to the truth of the message, to rejoice in it, and to praise you in it. We just want to glorify you this morning in all that we do, and we commit this day to you, Father, and we just ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes. He will not execute justice by what he hears with his ears. But he will judge the poor righteously and execute justice for the oppressed of the land. He will strike the land with discipline from his mouth, and he will kill the wicked with a command from his lips. Righteousness and faithfulness will be a belt around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf, the young lion, and the fatling will be together, and a child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze, their young ones will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. An infant will play beside the cobra's pit, and a toddler will put his hand into the snake's den. No one will harm or destroy on my entire holy mountain, for the land will be as full of the knowledge of the Lord as the sea is filled with water. On that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will seek him, and his resting place will be glorious. Isaiah 11:1 through 10. Now concerning that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, except the Father only. As the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah boarded the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. So this is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. Then the two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, if the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he would have stayed alert and not let his house be broken into. This is why you also must be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. I want to ask you a quick question. Well, a couple of quick questions. But the first question is, what do you think of, what's the first thing you think of when you hear somebody talking about Christmas? Or put in a better way, maybe, what's the first thing that popped into your head when I even mentioned the word Christmas? Jesus. Sherry's on top of the church answers this morning. We had somebody in the first service, so we need that good church answer. How about anything else? What do you think of when you think of Christmas? Family. Singing. Christmas carols. Anything else? Nobody's got any thoughts on Christmas. Yes, back there. Jesus' birthday. Good one. How about anything else? The gifts, presents, and the great gift, I'm guessing you're thinking of too. The great gift and also the presents under the tree. Yeah, Jim.
The Savior is born.
The Savior is born. Boy, we got a lot more church answers in this service, don't we? Back there, I see another hand. Sharing with others. Good answer. Good answer. That is all about Christmas, isn't it? Yeah, there's a lot of things with Christmas. Christmas tree, decorations, candy canes. My buddy Mason this morning after the service said, you know what, when I think of Christmas, I think of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman. I said, oh, I didn't even think of those ones. There's a lot when we hear that word Christmas, there's a lot that... Charlie.
Time to reflect.
Amen. Celebrate. Yes. Yeah. How about... I thought of the one because it's partly my favorite. How about baked goodies? Eating the baked goodies is my favorite, but I always think of that. Peanut brittle. My aunt's peanut brittle during Christmas. There are a lot of things that come to our minds when we think of the word Christmas. Okay. So now I want to ask you another question. What's the first thing that pops into your head? First thing that pops into your head. Cleared a little bit now. Okay, it's cleared. First thing that pops into your head when I say the word Advent. Hmm? Did I hear a hmm? Candles. The wreath, the candles. Good.
Love.
Preparation. Boy, we are on fire this morning. I like it. These are good answers. Actually, these answers are right spot on with what we're going to be talking about this morning. Because today is what the Western Church, now those of us who are evangelical Protestants or Roman Catholics, no matter where you are in the world, if you consider yourself a Protestant evangelical or a Roman Catholic, you're part of the Western Church. In the Western Church, today is the second Sunday of Advent. The two scriptural references I took from Isaiah and Matthew are typical Advent Sunday readings. And they deal in the prophecy of the coming of Jesus. And when we think of Advent, that is precisely what Advent means. Coming or arrival. But Advent is not only a time which we Christians celebrate the gift of Jesus being born in a manger so many moons ago. Advent, that word has a lot more meaning to it. And so if we think of the word Advent and we look at the history of the word, we know that Advent, the English word Advent, comes from the Latin word Adventus. And Adventus was taken from the Greek. The Greeks who had the word parousia. So Adventus, the Latin Adventus, was a translation or transliteration of the Greek word parousia. And every time the word parousia is mentioned in the New Testament, the writers are always referring to the second coming of Jesus. So not only is this season a time for the celebration of Jesus coming into the world as Messiah, but a time for preparation and expectation for the second coming as King and Judge. Now, I've already mentioned that this is the second Sunday of Advent. And so those of us who got our thinking caps early on in this cold morning know that second Sunday, well, that must mean there was a first, and maybe there's even more. And some of you who are familiar with the Advent tradition and the Advent season probably already know. But some of you don't know about the Advent, and so I'm going to be talking about the Advent like none of us know anything about it this morning. But if you do, I apologize. But I hope that you'll discover maybe something new about the Advent season, or maybe even rediscover the joy and the amazement that surrounds this time of year. Anyway, you are correct that there are more Sundays. We're in the second Sunday. There are actually four Sundays during the Advent season. The first was last week. This is the second. Our fourth and last one will fall on December 22nd. Always falls on that last Sunday prior to Christmas Day. Now, each of these four Sundays has a specific point for reflection or emphasis that is focused upon during that Sunday. And each of these points are usually symbolized in the lighting of the candle. We mentioned the candles, the wreath. And if you look here on the top of the piano, we have our candles. And this is considered or referred to as the Advent wreath. And so I want to tell you a little bit about the Advent wreath, a little bit about the candles, the colors, what they mean and what they're here for and why we celebrate in this way. Now, as you can see, or not, there's four candles, obviously marking our four Sundays of Advent. The first candle is typically referred to as the candle of hope or of prophecy. And if you gathered from the readings out of Isaiah and Matthew, you know, and even studying the Old Testament, which is all about the coming and the need and the expectation and the prophecy of the Messiah. When you get into the New Testament, outside of the Gospels, other than when Jesus talks about it, but outside of the Gospels, you have many references to the second coming of Christ. Prophecy again of the return. So we see why this first candle is the candle of hope, the candle of prophecy. The second candle, and whoever said this, is they were right on this morning. They're ready. The second candle is often referred to as the Bethlehem candle or the candle of preparation. Now, here again, we are focused on prophecy and hope for the Messiah, but our attention has now turned more to an expectation of its arrival. Where before, last week, we were hoping for the arrival. We were longing for that arrival to become real. Now we are preparing for it. We are preparing ourselves for the actual arrival of that hope that we have so been longing for. You know, it's I don't know how often it happens, but it's pretty neat that today is also a day of remembrance. And how closely those two are tied together. If you can see the table, the communion table set up in front of me, we're preparing our hearts for the coming of baby Jesus into the world, but also preparing our hearts for His coming into the world as King and Savior, or ruler, rather. But also taking time to remember exactly what that Advent means this morning. Exactly what's at stake. His body and blood broken and spilled out for us. It's an important day, an important symbolic day for us, both in the preparation and in the remembrance. Now, the third candle is the pink candle. If you can see the pink candle there on the back there, there's a lighter one. It's pink because pink is associated with joy. And so, obviously, that's why this candle is referred to as the candle of joy, or sometimes the shepherd's candle. It's a different color. It's pink because it represents joy, but because this also represents a shift in the season from repentance and preparation to joy. You see, the first two candles on there are purple. And purple is associated with repentance and preparation. Remember John the Baptist in the river? What he was telling the people, that they needed to repent, for the kingdom of God was at hand. The kingdom was at hand. They needed to repent and be prepared. And so purple is preparing us. We need to repent and be prepared for the coming holiness of Christ. But now we return from repentance and preparation to rejoicing. For the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. All creation shares in the joy of salvation. We have moved from repentance and longing and hope into rejoicing, for the King has been heralded. The fourth candle, like the first two, is purple. But unlike the purple in the first candles, this doesn't represent repentance. We aren't going back from joy back to repentance. Rather, as many of you know, purple is the color of royalty. And so this purple candle represents the royalty of Christ as King. For the angel has heralded the arrival of the King that we just read about. And so this candle, this fourth candle, is referred to as the candle of love. John 3:16 reiterates this idea of God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we've talked about the four candles, but yet there's a fifth candle. You see the white candle in the middle. This is the center candle. This is the Christ candle. And it's white because that represents purity, sinlessness, wholeness, righteousness, holiness. The central location, it's in the center of each of these candles. It's interesting to note that we move each candle around in the circle. And as it becomes, more light comes into the world. And finally, Christ comes. That central location reminds us that the incarnation is at the heart of the season. The light of the world has come in for all to encounter, for all to see. Darkness has been washed away. Light is at the center of it all. Salvation is here. Now, Advent is marked by a spirit of expectation, of anticipation, preparation, and finally realization. There is a longing for deliverance from the evils of the world. And this was first seen by the Israelites crying out to be freed from their oppressors in the land of Egypt. And they see the realization of the faithfulness of their God who has heard their cries, the cries of the oppressed, which now includes or has included each one of us. And His faithfulness is realized in His delivering us. It is that hope, however faint at times, that God, however distant He may seem, which brings the world the anticipation of a King who will rule with truth and justice and righteousness over His people and in His creation. It is that hope that once anticipated and now anticipates anew for the return, now anticipates anew the reign of an anointed one, a Messiah who will bring peace and justice and righteousness to the world. Part of the expectation also anticipates a second advent, the second coming, the parousia. But with that also comes judgment on sin and a calling for the world to be accountable before God. So yes, we celebrate with gladness. We rejoice in the great promise of Advent. Yet we know that there is far more to hope for, more to anticipate, and so we must participate in the first Advent to experience the second, to prepare ourselves for the second. This double focus on past and future. When we think of the past and the future, Advent also symbolizes the spiritual journey that each of us are on. When we affirm that Christ has come, that He is present in the world today, and that He will come again in power. That spiritual journey, that acknowledgement provides the basis for kingdom living, for that holy living arising from a profound sense that we are living between the times. We are called to be faithful stewards of what God has entrusted to us as His people. We rejoice for our hope has been realized. The babe has been born. Salvation has come and made secure. Yet we remain active and participate with Christ in the first Advent so that we can joyfully and fully experience the second. The Spirit of Advent is expressed well in the parable of the bridesmaids who are anxiously awaiting their bridegroom. Does everyone remember that story, the parable of the bridegroom? Matthew 25, right at the beginning, read through it. It's a perfect expression of the spirit of Advent because there is profound joy at the bridegroom's expected coming. But yet there is a warning for the need of preparation. The need to be prepared. But even then, even in the preparation, even in that need, that prayer of Advent is still, "Come, O come Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel." That prayer, "Come, O come Emmanuel, ransom us," is the central theme, is the central spirit, the foundational aspect of Advent. It is not just to mark an event that happened 2,000 years ago. Rather, it is celebrating the faithfulness of God. God who promised His people so long ago and continues to promise us that He will never forsake us. It is celebrating a truth about God, the revelation of God in Christ, whereby all of creation might be reconciled back to Him. We celebrate and we rejoice in the receiving of that unfailing, unshakable, unmovable gift of love the Father has given us in the Advent, the arrival, the birth of Jesus. And it's a good day, friends, because today it becomes even more realized when we come to the table. It's even more realized when we remember that the blood has been spilt, the body has been broken. Death has been conquered through death. Life has been given us to us through His death. We are prepared, but the realization has been made well known. It's a beautiful day. But we also yet prepare ourselves for the second coming. The Advent is not over. The Advent we are waiting for. And we need to be prepared. We need to remain diligent, active followers of Christ, remaining in His image, being molded and conformed to who He is. And so with that, let's go to prayer. Let's go to prayer now and prepare our hearts for His return. Prepare our hearts for the gift of salvation as we partake in this communion meal. Let's just take a few minutes in silence. Just take a moment or two with God to prepare yourself for this season and today. Oh, Father God, how we love You. But Father, we wouldn't even know how to love You if You did not love us first. We wouldn't even know how to love one another if you did not love us first. Father, shower us with your love today, that we might be better at reciprocating and showing that love back to you and outward towards our neighbors. Father, prepare our hearts today. Prepare our hearts for this season, that we might not get wrapped up in all those things that remind us of what Christmas is. Even though those are good things, Father, baked goodies and presents and Christmas trees and decorating and being with family and traveling, all those things are good things, Father. We thank you for them. But let us not forget that the incarnation, God in flesh, is at the heart of our celebration this season. Prepare us and remind us, Father, daily to be alert and ready for your coming again, your second advent. And Father, how we realize and remember all that was done through and in that first advent as we come to the table. Our salvation has been made real. We are safe and secure in your bosom. You have gathered us up. And Father, we give you thanks. We come with humble hearts, thanksgiving hearts, to the table this morning to thank you for the blood and the body spilled and broken for us. We rejoice in your goodness. We rejoice in your holiness and righteousness, your justice and mercy. We rejoice in you, God. We just thank you and we love you and we now glorify you and all you've done for us. In the name of Jesus, amen.